Morning, we're glad you're here. We appreciate so much your presence. The visitors that are among us, we're delighted to have you come our way. And we trust that you like it well enough to come be with us every opportunity you have if you're in this area. And if you live out of state or far away from Beaver Creek and you're in this area, in this neighborhood, in the future, we want you to come and be with us again. Now, I got back late Friday night, actually Saturday morning, about 2 o'clock, and had two good meetings, a short one and then a longer one, down in southern West Virginia, close to the Virginia-Kentucky border. And that's quite an experience. That's right down in the heart of the mountains, down in the Hatfield-McCoy territory. In fact, I stayed with one of the great-granddaughters of Wall Hatfield, and is on his farm where I stayed. It's been divided up in just a little small segment of it where the Murphys now live, where I stayed the week, and they inform me and fill me in on a lot of the escapades of the Hatfield McCoy years ago. They stopped feuding about 1920. It went on for about 20 years. And I enjoyed it immensely. And I trust a lot of good was accomplished. The church there at Beach Creek, West Virginia, where I was there a week, has over 100 in attendance, 130 some last Sunday morning. And then I was at Caney prior to that. Their group there was smaller. This is where Nancy is from. I appreciate them so much. And it was a joy and a pleasure to be down in that part of the country. But it's always good to come home, too. And I went over to the Greene County Fair last night and helped sing, and there were several there. And a few from other congregations. There's some there from Huber Heights, I believe, about four represented. And we had some good singing. And maybe next year we might get a tent bigger and have a little preaching. About 40 people there yesterday evening. And I believe, friends, we got to go out in the marketplace where people are, and that's what we're doing. And I want to say this, and he didn't ask me to say it, but Brother Harris Smith did more into getting that moving and making it function. That doesn't mean you didn't. He couldn't have done it without you. And several of you came and helped and cooperated. But he, back and forth in his truck, downtown to get some equipment, here to the building, back over there, and we give him a lot of credit for taking that responsibility and shouldering the load. And I'm sure he's grateful to all of you, and several of you came and helped and did all that you could do. There's just so much we can do over there. And we passed out tracts. I say we, you did. You passed out tracts and you talked to people. And that's at least getting the seed out, and we trust a lot of good will come from it. It helped us, if nothing else comes out of it, it helps us to get involved and to be working. And we need to do more as opportunity presents itself. Well, I want to talk to you a little while this morning about attending the services of the church. And let me say this by way of introduction, that I don't know of any place in this country, the church this size, that has as good attendance as we do here. Sunday night, this house is about full. We have good attendance on Wednesday night. Some of you can't come Sunday night. You'd like to, but you can't. And others of you are working on Wednesday night and you can't come, but your heart is here. Some of us perhaps could do more than we're doing. You know your circumstances, God knows it. And all of us will have to give an account unto him in the after while. But I think what I have to say this morning can help us all. I know it benefited me in preparing this, getting it ready to preach to you this morning. But you would agree that there is an absentee problem in the church. I go in meetings, and we may have a large crowd Sunday morning, but they don't support the meeting like they ought to. They don't feel the responsibility to come. There are churches all over this country, brethren, that have the house filled on Sunday morning and half that on Sunday night and a third that many on Wednesday night, and that shouldn't be. Something is wrong somewhere. Now, as far as absenteeism, it falls into four classes. One, physical handicaps. Now, we might be ill and unable to come. Some of us have, however, what we might call Sunday morning-itis. It comes on about 9 o'clock. Then, approximately 12, we start feeling better. We pep up. We go out to the shopping center Sunday afternoon. And then Sunday night, it hits us again. And it lasts about 2 hours. Wednesday night, it comes along. I don't know what is going on here as far as this affliction or malady. Why it Sunday only? Why it's not Monday through Saturday? But we're not afflicted with it Monday through Saturday, except Wednesday night. But Sunday morning and Sunday night. So physical handicaps. Here we're ill, or there are those who are feeble, or shut in, who can't go anywhere. And then there are those who are stranded by floods or fires or bad weather. We've had some weather here that we couldn't get out, and so we couldn't have service. So there's one category, those who are physically handicapped. Another are the vacationers. And they'll go on vacation. They'll pick Sunday to go and don't feel any compunction of conscience to attend service anywhere, as though they're excused. And I've seen people out on vacation, and they didn't make any arrangements to go to church. They think when they're home they ought to go, but they don't go anywhere else. And then there are those business people who open their business Sunday. They don't have time to come. They say we're obligated financially, and we got to make a living. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, some of us, friends, don't believe that, and we just, well, it's teared out of the Bible. It's just taking up space. When the Lord said, "I want the kingdom put first," that means in business or anything else, every relationship we have in life, Jesus Christ has precedence, and we need to learn that as a people of God. And then the fourth category are pleasure seekers. And we have some who like to fish, and so they'll go on a Sunday morning and then come back Sunday night and miss services altogether. And then there are other activities that they're involved in. I heard the story back some time ago of a couple who went out fishing. They were on the lake and got about 10 o'clock. And one fellow who was a member of the church looked over at his buddy and he said, "You know, my conscience is hurting me." He said, "Maybe we should have stayed home and gone to worship." Well, the other fellow said, "Well, if I'd stayed home, I couldn't have gone because I feel sick." Well, he was able to fish, but not able to come to worship. Now, a lot of this, as to what we do or don't do, becomes habitual. And we got bad habits and good habits, and we got bad habits, we need to break them. And we need to so acclimate our lives that God and his church always comes first. And we don't get up on Sunday morning and talk about it and discuss it, whether we're going to church or worship. It's just part of our lives. It's ingrained in us. And we know where we're going to be Lord's Day morning, and we know where we're going to be Sunday night. And on Wednesday night and every time that the church meets, we know that we're going to be at the house of God. There are several passages in the Bible that deal with church attendance or the need to come to the assemblies of God's people. Hebrews 10:25 shows that we need to come together so we can exhort one another to provoke one another. Verse 24, unto love and to good works. There's strength, my friends, in coming together like we are this morning. Then in Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, they came together to observe the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 14, the church assembled for edification. In Acts 20, 28, elders have the obligation to feed and to shepherd the flock, as Paul said to the Ephesian elders, and one way they do it is by assemblies of this kind. And Hebrews 13, verse 17, we're to obey them that have the rule over us and submit unto them. And when there's feeding time, we need to take advantage of it. Now, I tell you, when it gets to be lunchtime or dinner time, I try to find some place to eat because I'm hungry. And this morning is lunchtime, and this evening is dinner time, and Wednesday evening is feeding time. And we need to come together in order to study the scriptures. Well, Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They came together in breaking of bread and fellowship and prayers. And in verse 46, they did this daily. And in Acts chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, Paul at the school of Tyrannus took the disciples and taught them over a period of 2 years. In Hebrews 5 and verse 12, they were not developing the Hebrew Christians. And they had need again that someone teach them the first principles of the oracles of God. In Philippians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10, and I want you to listen to this one. Paul said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." What for, Paul? "That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." What he's saying is you got to know the will of God in order to walk worthy and pleasing before Jehovah and to be ready unto every good work. We don't know what to do. We wouldn't know how to be pleasing without a knowledge of the Son of God. And so we need to come together to study. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved." And hence these are passages and others could be offered that teach us the responsibility and obligations that we have to come together as the people of God in assemblies to study and to be edified and to worship and praise the God of heaven who made us and redeemed us through Jesus Christ. But I want to divide this message this morning into three divisions to show that indeed we do have duties and responsibilities in church attendance. Number one, we ought to attend every service of the church because we owe it to ourselves. The Bible teaches that the church is the called out. It's from the Greek word ekklesia. And so ek means out, klesia means called, and the called out. And I raise the question, brethren, what have we been called out for? We haven't been called out to be an ornament in the house of God. We've been called out for duty and service. We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we're to serve the Lord as the best that we know how, according to the scriptures, according to our abilities. And I want to ask you, can one give full support to an institution if he fails to meet all of its appointments? Now, I have a little understanding about these social organizations. I've been around brethren who've been in the Kiwanis Club and the Rotary Club. And you know they require, they expect you to attend their meetings. And some of them have these stipulations. If you miss two times in a row without an excuse, you're excluded. Well, friend, they're more stringent than we are in the house of God. They won't permit or allow absenteeism. And the idea is, if you're going to be a Rotarian, won't you be one? If you don't intend to commit yourself, we don't want you just wear the name. We want you to be a dedicated Rotarian. And I believe the Church of God is greater than the Rotarians, are greater than the Lions, are greater than the social organizations and clubs, whatever they may be. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ, that required his blood in order to purchase. I believe, my friend, it deserves more than these social organizations as far as attendance goes. Well, that's one reason. We owe it to ourselves. We've been called out. Number two, we need spiritual fruit to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Someone says, preacher, I can study the book at home. I know you can, and we can learn at home, and we need to study the Bible at home. But the person who won't come to the assemblies, I raise the question, does he study at home? And I doubt it. I doubt it very seriously. If one opens the book and studies the pages of divine inspiration, who refuses to attend the house of God? So we need food to grow. Number three, the Lord is keeping the record of my works. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that are done in the body. Now, if we went back over our church attendance for the past year, and here's month after month, Sunday after Sunday, and how many absentees would we have? You know, it might be revealing if we could see our record for the past year or the last 2 years or whenever in the church. And here the church meets Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and here are gospel meetings, and it shows up on our record that here we come once each Sunday, if that much, and all the absence is over here to the side. But let me tell you something. God is keeping a record of our works. And he knows how many times we're missing, and I want to tell you, my friend, he knows why we're missing. Oh, we can offer a lot of excuses as to why we don't come. You know, you go to people's house and you said, well, we've been missing your service. And said, well, I know, I just haven't been feeling too good lately. But they go to work and they're able to go out into the city and they travel around visiting relatives. I was down at Caney here the other day, and Brother Johnny Hall, who's one of the pillars in the church down there, a great man, and he said, he's talking about taking the Lord's Supper up a holler down there to somebody. And he said he didn't believe in that under those circumstances. He said, take it up there for the right purpose and have their worship period. That'd be something else. But he said they take the Lord's Supper. He was telling me about this, happened sometime before. He said they take the Lord's Supper up there to this hall. And said the old man may have just come in from ginseng back on the hill. And then they'd leave, and lo and behold, they wouldn't even more get out of the holler till here he'd come going out. Now, I want to tell you, friend, if a man can ginseng, and if you don't know what that is, why, you ask later. If a man can ginseng, and a man can leave the holler in his car and go to town, bless your heart, he can go to church. You talk to some brethren and said, well, you know, I just can't get out. I can't go anywhere. But you find them out and you catch them out during the week. And so we need to come to all the service of the church because the Lord is keeping a record of our works. Again, we need a closer association with other Christians. There's strength, as I said before, in us coming together. And it's invigorating, brethren. To be able to come and to sing together and mingle our voices together and see one another and enjoy one another's presence and company and fellowship in service like this. And so we need the people of God. And we can exhort one another and we can provoke one another unto good works and unto love, as Hebrews chapter 10 teaches. We also need to come together because we don't miss work and many other engagements. And we have to work. The Bible teaches we're to work and provide for our own. And Ephesians 4 and verse 28 teaches we're to work that we might have money to give to those who have need. But you know, we have 168 hours in a week. Now, what do we do with them? Well, we got to have 40 for work, all right? Everything's fine so far. And we sleep 8 hours a night. And so here's what, about 56 hours a week. You sleep 8 hours. And then we got to have time for some meals, and so here's about an hour and a half a day, plus the in-betweens, you see. And so many hours of that, and then we got to have some recreation, and I know that's all so. And we get down here, we've got a lot of hours left over. Now, I haven't figured it all out, maybe I should have done that, and had a chart prepared, you see. But we've got a lot of hours left over in a week, and what are we going to do with them? Well, most of the time we just use them for our own selfish purposes, what we want to do. What about church? Well, I go 1 hour. Now, isn't that pitiful, brethren, that we're so selfish that we use all of this time here and have 1 hour to worship God? Now, we go to work, and we got 40 hours a week. If we went to every service, that's Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and counting the time of going and coming, that wouldn't be over 5 or 6 hours that we give in our attendance to the church. And we got a lot of time left over for some other things. Now, what am I talking about? I'm saying that we need to come to church because we owe it to ourselves. Now, the second reason that we need to come is because of our obligations to our brethren and others. I've got a responsibility to the church where I'm a member. And we need to be members of a local church. Or we couldn't have a local church. There couldn't be any such thing. But we need to come. We got an indebtedness here to the church. Now, let me ask you something. Wouldn't I have the right, if you have the right, to just come 1 hour a week? Well, preacher, we'd fire you. We got you to preach. I'm not saying you say that, you know. But we say, we got you to preach. And you're going to have to be here. And what if the elders here, they came just 1 hour on Sunday morning? I tell you what, I wouldn't like that too well. You wouldn't either. Well, we need to get us some new elders, those men, the gall of those fellows, just showing up 1 hour on Sunday morning. They got a responsibility. And the teachers, they thought, well, we'll just come 1 hour, and on it goes. And we couldn't have a congregation, could we? Now, if you have the right before God, and he approves that action and sanctions that, bless your heart, I have the same right because he's no respecter of persons. Isn't that so? Isn't that right? Absolutely, it's right. We could never have a Sunday night service. We couldn't have Wednesday night meetings. We couldn't have gospel meetings because brethren wouldn't show up. And I want to tell you something, friend, it's almost getting that bad, and we're going to be just like the Lutherans before it's over in some of these places across this country if we're not careful. Did you ever drive by the Lutheran church? And you'll see a sign out front, and they'll advertise Sunday morning service, and that's it. Now, they have a lot of little things going on. They have the ladies' aid, and these auxiliaries, and those activities, and the preacher, you know, he's in the ministerial alliance, and he's got his works and his functions during the week. But I want to know about that church. It's not meeting except Sunday morning. And you know why it doesn't meet Sunday night? Because the members won't come. Won't come. And brethren, when we stop meeting, and when we stop assembling, and when we start out here going to and fro in worldly things, even those that are right within themselves, and let the church be on the back burner, then we just well fold up and quit. There's no use to exist. We don't have any purpose to exist. I'm going to tell you, friend, the church of God, as I said before, is the called out of God. And it's called out for something. And what is it? What is it? It's called out to promote the kingdom, the cause of Christ, and to preach the gospel. And we prepare and equip ourselves to do that as we come together. Well, we're going to influence others. And I want my influence to be for good. But we have our influence for good or bad. And it's long-reaching, and we don't have any control over it. Do you know what you do today possibly could influence your grandchildren way down the road? And I'd want them to look back on me and say, here, my granddaddy was a dedicated Christian. He was faithful. He was there every time the church door opened. I think, friends, that that is the greatest commendation that can be made of a man, that he was faithful to the Lord. That he's faithful to God. I read this in the book of George DeHoff back some years ago. Down here in Tennessee, there was an elderly woman died, she was a Christian, a member of the church. And they had the corpse at the house, as they did, and some places still do. And they'd have watches, and people would come and they'd stay up with the body all night and all day until the burial. Well, the children had come in. And neighbors had come in, and Sunday morning she was lying in this house, corpse. The meeting house was up over the bank, down the road a little place, little ways. And this elderly husband, up in years, he got up and he began to get ready to go to church. One of the daughters came in, wasn't as strong as he. She came in and she said, "Daddy, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to worship. And Mama lying out here, a corpse, and you're going to worship?" He said, "Listen, your mother and I, for a long number of years, every Lord's Day, we went together and walked up over the hill down there to the building to worship our God. And if she were living today, that's where we'd be going together. And if she could speak, that's what she would tell me to do. You go to worship." That old man went. And George DeHoff said it had such an impact on those neighbors that several of them were baptized because of the fidelity of that old man. If he'd stayed home, it would show that his wife was greater than the Lord. And it seems to me, brethren, that all the times that we need God is death. We come when things are well, when we are happy, when we're at peace. But when things are going bad, we got some turmoil and some conflicts or whatever, we say, "I've got to stay away in order to find happiness." Friend, you find it in the house of God. Amen. That's where we need to be. And I know what Jesus said. He said, "You were to love me more than your father and mother." And I remember in Luke the 9th chapter, when a man came, or Jesus asked him to follow him, his man said, "Well," he said, "first let me go bury my father." Jesus said, "The dead, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me." I take it that his father was up in years in that text. He wanted to go home and see that he was cared for and then bury him, and then he could come and follow Jesus. He said, "You follow me now." Another man said, "I've got some responsibilities at home." He said, "You follow me." I want to tell you, friend, Jesus Christ comes first in our lives, and some of us haven't learned it as yet. That's something that we must make a commitment to, that the Lord loves us, but he wants our allegiance first and foremost. Well, we're going to influence somebody else. Then, in connection with our obligations to others, would you tell your brother he is pleasing to God if he misses all the services of the church? Now, I've seen a few that do that. And you know, we try to find a loophole, brethren. And I've seen members of the church that try to circumvent what the Bible teaches on attendance and try to find ways that we can get out of it and find methods that are find ways that God will approve and sanction in our activities instead of putting ourselves on the side where we exhort individuals who are Christians that they need to come to worship. Instead of putting yourself on the side that, yes, we got to come to worship, we got to come to the house of God, as the Bible teaches, we try to find ways that we can stay away. And that shouldn't be. We have a responsibility to elders and teachers and to the preacher to help him in their work. And elders are appointed by the church, and they are the shepherds, and they plan, and they get things together. And I won't tell you, friend, they need our support. And I feel an obligation to Brother Harold and Brother Rodney, and I'm sure you do, not all of you, most of you feel an obligation, responsibility to them. They can't do it by themselves. We've got to help them, cooperate with them, and hold up their hands. And the same thing is true with our teachers and also with your preacher. And I'm thankful to you for the support that you give, for the encouragement that you give in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we come to services in order to help the responsibility of elders and the preachers and the teachers and the deacons. And we're to do good at all times. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying that we need to attend the services of the church because first we owe it to ourselves. I'm saying we need to attend the services of the church because we have an obligation to our brethren and others. And thirdly, we need to attend all the services of the church because of our obligation to God. We're living sacrifices. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Church attendance isn't always convenient. Some of you be commended for a distance that you come. Some of you brethren come miles away. It's easy for me to get here. Don't even have to start up the car. Just next door. Some of you live just around the corner. But others live way off, over under Hubert Heights or north of the city, up at Troy. Some of you live south of the city, but you're here. And some of you brethren live a great distance and more faithful than some of us who live right here in the shadow of the church building. You know what the difference is? Faith, and dedication, and commitment to God Almighty. Because you've learned some time ago that indeed you are to be living sacrifices to Jehovah. And you're to offer your reasonable service. We're to put the kingdom first, as we've already studied. But can we put it first when other things come between us and the kingdom of God? You think about it for just a moment. And we put the kingdom of first, brethren, when we want to go out for some pleasure trip on the Lord's day. And we put the kingdom of God first when we sign up at the plant on Friday that we'll work Saturday and Sunday in order to get time and a half. I've seen brethren, Dale Ricks is one of them, I've seen brethren turn down hundreds of dollars in order to come to worship instead of working. Now, if there's an emergency, and the plant manager said, we just got to have you. There's a problem here. I understand that. If you're a physician, you may be called out for a patient. There might be something that happens. If we're the Good Samaritan, and we're on our way to worship, and we come up on an accident, automobile wreck, you may have to stay around and do things for the whole period to help that individual. That's what we should do. But friend, when we seek the kingdom of God first, everything else is put in the background, becomes secondary. Then we're to be faithful unto death. And is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, to be faithful? I just raised the question. And not attend worship. I read in the Revelation, like this in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, thou shalt receive the crown of life. But I read there of Antipas, who gave his life for the Lord. I read of Stephen, who was stoned to death, and I read of James, who was executed by Herod. I read of John in secular history, that he died in boiling oil. I read where Paul was executed in a Roman prison. I read in tradition that Peter was crucified upside down. I read of the old Saint Polycarp, who was asked to recant and compromise his faith. And he said, 80 years I've served the Master. I'm not going to surrender or recant now. And he was burned to death. You know, it just, when I look at myself, or look at some of us in the church, and our little pittance we give to God in view of what those men gave in sacrifice, it makes me ashamed, and should you too. We come into an air-conditioned building. In the winter, it's heated. We get out from the community in this private place without any outside interference. There's not any soldiers coming in, taking us off to prison, cutting off our heads. We got it so easy, and yet we really, a lot of us are not committed like we ought to be. It looks to me like, brethren, the least we can do as the children of God is to come to His services. That doesn't mean that we stop there, but least we can do that much. We also to use our talents for God. And I want to tell you, friend, you play an important part in church attendance. Now, sometimes we get feeling maybe that we don't contribute anything. I'm just here and I'm on the pew and I'm not doing much. Well, you are. Just start eliminating one at a time and see what we could have in a short while. Empty pews? I told somebody, it's not too long ago, we're talking about members and different personalities and eccentricities, and we all got them, you know, a little, some more than others. But remove that man or that woman. Aren't we glad when they come? Don't we rejoice that here somebody moves in and they place membership with us? And we're so delighted. Well, friend, let me tell you, we should be as happy after they're here a year or 2 years than we were the day they came. And sometimes we take it for granted, you see. And, well, you've been around here a long time, and so what? But here they first come, and they say, great, and everybody just rushes up to them. But after about 6 months, see you. Something like that. You know what I'm talking about. We should appreciate people of coming to worship, to service, and we should be here, and we do contribute something by our presence, and we're to use our talents for the glorification of God. Matthew, the 25th chapter. And we've got talents, and we've got abilities, and we need to use those. And one thing we can do, friend, is we can go to church. I remember hearing the story, and I'm about through. I remember hearing the story of one fella. He'd open the door every time. He was always back there. He'd open the door. Let people in, he'd open the door and let people out. Somebody talked about, what's that fella doing back there? They said, that's all he can do. All he can do. It may not be much that we can do, but that's all we can do. God sees it and God knows and God will bless us. And we got the 5 talent, the 2 talent, the 1 talent among us everywhere, and we need to use them to the extent of our ability. We need to use these works. But one other thing, I'm going to bring this to a close. And this has to do with common logic. I'm talking about our obligations to God now. Common logic. What would Paul, James, Peter, Timothy, Silas, Stephen, and a host of others, what would they do if they visited you or me? And Sunday morning came. And you'd holler in, Paul said, Paul, you're going to Bible study? Well, I'm not a member over there. Let's just let that pass by. We'll go over to worship. All right. Sunday night. Paul, are you going Sunday night? No, I never go Sunday night. One time is enough for anybody. Where in the Bible does it say that you have to go Sunday night? I hear that all the time from some weak brother who doesn't have much faith and no commitment much to the Lord. I want to tell you something, neighbor. When a fella asks the question if he has to do something for the Lord is a man whose faith is about that little. We don't have to do anything. We should want to do something for God who done so much for me. Jehovah who created me and the universe and Jesus who came and redeemed me. If you can get that in your heart, I'll tell you, you're talking about motivation and incentive. You can't do enough for it. Would Paul, would he just come Sunday morning? Do you think he would? Do you think that James and John would just come Sunday morning? And brethren, do you think that if there's a gospel meeting, do you think that they just stay home and watch television? Do you think that? I know you don't. But I'll tell you something else. When there's a work to be done around the building or some kind of program that the church has, those men would be there to do what they could. And brethren, though a lot of us participated in this fair last week, that booth over there, some of us didn't that could, because you didn't want to. And you need to repent of it. Yeah, preacher, where in the Bible does it say I have to do? Well, it goes right back to what our talents are and what we're able to do. Some of us can't do these. I understand that. And there's not room for everybody at times. But the thing that bothers me is that we don't feel obligated to some of these things that we do. And there's no remorse whatsoever that we didn't. I got back and it happened due to scheduling that I had to be gone. Or I wouldn't. But I got back. I went over there. Because I felt an obligation to go. And I don't know as I was any more obligated to go than you were obligated to go. And I don't care what it is. It can be a men's training class. And some of you men never show up and don't even say, excuse me, I can't come. Because you don't want to come. And you need to repent of it. We can have a ladies' class, and ladies will sit around and do everything else except come to the ladies' class. And you need to repent of it. Somebody said, preacher, you mean that's sin? Yes, it's sin. And it's sin when we sit at the house, brethren, on Sunday night and watch the television when the church meets and the house of God, people come to the house of God, and the Lord is being preached. Indeed, it's a sin. And some of us don't know what sin is. We think that sin is getting drunk and lying out here wallowing in the vomit, that's sin. And we think sin is going over here and holding up a store or a bank and stealing. But there's more to it in the Bible than that. And I have an obligation before God. Let us be at our Father's business. We have a work to do. Indeed, we do. In a church to promote, to build up, and the cause of Jesus Christ to promote. And if you, as a Christian, have taken on this responsibility, it's yours and mine to do all we can for the cause of Christ. I thank you for listening. I've talked long enough, maybe too long. But I'm glad you listened. And I said these things not to be over-critical, but I think they ought to be said wherever we are in any congregation, and we can profit from it, because the best of us have shortcomings. I don't care who we are, we got shortcomings. And we haven't arrived at a place that we make no mistakes, that we have no blunders. Indeed, we do. If you're in the audience this morning and you're unsaved, you're not a Christian, as we sing this song of invitation, we want you to come and give God your heart. Will you come today repenting of your sin, be baptized, be washed in the blood of Christ? What a wonderful experience it is. The blood of Christ that flowed from Calvary's tree is still flowing today. And thank God for it. And I hope as Christians that we can see the grace of God manifested and demonstrated in Calvary. And I want to tell you, brethren, what the church of God needs a good dose of is Calvary. And if we get the church to see Calvary and all of its benefits, I think a lot of problems will take care of itself. And we can learn what God would require of us. But if we can see that and catch a glimpse of Calvary, a lot of our problems will take care of themselves. Will you come today while we stand and sing?